Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 7th chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. And please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah unto the ark, and male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the floods of the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, and the 17th day of the month, the same came with the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of the flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, all of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Let us pray. Father, again today, I want to thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you today for this great privilege we have of gathering in this place once again today, Lord, to sing praises to you, to pray, and Lord, to honor you with our offerings, and also, Lord, for the preaching of God's Word. We thank you, Lord, that we have this great privilege. We pray for our junior churches, Lord, during this time, children's churches, Father, we pray. Ask you, God, to bless in a real wonderful and precious way that you might honor yourself. In this congregation, in this auditorium this morning, we need your power. We need your wisdom. We ask you to do that which would honor you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, we want to share with you from the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. And I think all of you have heard about the ark. I'm sure that everybody has read about that, been taught that since they was a little boy or a little girl. If they've been in church, we've heard about the ark that Noah made. Amen. And so we find here in this story, we found all of them that come into the ark. And then the Bible says that the Lord shut him in. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, "The Door Was Shut." I hope it'll be a blessing. I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. I've always tried to ask you. You know, we've got usually from fifth grade on up in our auditorium here this morning. We love you very much, but you can do something wonderful for this preacher. If you'll just sit up and just keep still and not talk and not to cause any kind of commotion, that'd be a help to me. Amen. I won't be long. I won't keep you a lengthy time. And probably anything that you have to say during this time is not near as important what God has to say. Amen. So we just want you to be still and sit up, and unless there's emergency, of course, when there's emergencies, we understand emergencies. Amen. But young people, just sit up, take notice, and listen to the message this morning. I think it'll be something that God would want you to hear. Now, we go back into the book of Genesis here, the sixth chapter. I want to read a few verses to you from the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Starting at verse number 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." God is sharing with us the condition of men during this time of Noah's life. And he said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He said that every imagination, that means every purpose, every desire of the heart, the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Goes on and it says, "And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and in the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So the Bible says in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." It's interesting, in the Old Testament we find two people here before the flood anyway, two people that God says that walked with him. We spoke just the other day on the book of Jude, and we found Enoch was a man who walked with God. The Bible also says he had the testimony that he pleased God. We find out in the scriptures because he lived a life of faith. We find the same thing here. If you follow this through in Noah's life, Noah walked with God because he did what God said. The Bible says he did all that God commanded him to do. So he was a man of faith. So we find it also, he said, "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then he gives him some instructions, and he says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." We find that God gave instructions because of the wickedness of the earth. God was going to destroy mankind upon the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know the story where Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives was the only ones that went into the unto the ark. Now, I'm just going to just kind of go back, and I'm not going to turn back there, but to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, you remember there was something said about Noah. The Bible says, by faith, Noah being warned of God. By faith. I want you to know something. To believe in God, to truly put faith and trust in God, it has to be by faith. Everything that Noah did, he done it by faith. He built the ark by faith. And that's what he's saying here of God. He said, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know what? He hadn't seen the flood yet. He hadn't even seen the ark finished. He didn't know what was going on for sure. But God said, build an ark. And by faith, he did exactly what God says to do. Is there anybody here this morning that's seen Jesus Christ personally? Do you believe in him? How do you believe in him? By faith. Amen. Well, he says that Noah moved with fear. That's talking about the fear of God. Noah moved with fear. Amen. And so we find he moved with fear. And what did he do? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He built this ark. I want to say to you today, moms and dads, we need to be sure that we get our children on the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We need to be sure, no doubt whatsoever. We need to get them in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where they'll hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only way of heaven. Amen. The ark of safety. It's our ark of safety. And he says, by the which he condemned the world. He, by faith, built the ark, and he was condemned the world. The world was condemned because they would not get up on the ark. They would not believe. And he says also, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's the way you get righteousness. You become the heir of it by faith in Jesus Christ. His righteousness, amen? It isn't our righteousness. No. It's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we become an heir of that through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to show you real quickly, if you'll look at chapter 6, verse 14. Interesting thing here. Down in verse 14, it says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." You've probably heard that, but that pitch was a tar-like substance that they put on the outside of the ark. The Bible says also they put it on the inside of the ark. Amen? And it was to keep the water of judgment out. I want to show you an interesting thing just for a moment here before we go on with our message. But over in the book of Leviticus, please, the 17th chapter of the book of Leviticus. I'll just read one verse. But the 17th chapter of the book of Leviticus, I want you to notice a word there called atonement. I'm going to read this verse of scripture, verse 11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you," that's Leviticus 17:11. "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Now I just want to give you something real interesting. The word pitch over here in the book of Genesis, the word atonement is the very same word in the Hebrew. The word pitch, they put the pitch on the inside and the outside of the ark to keep the water of judgment out of the ark. Amen? And so when it comes to the blood atonement, the word atonement, you look it up in your concordance, and in the Hebrew, in the concordance, and it's the very same word. So what he's saying is the blood of Jesus Christ keeps the judgment away from us. Amen. The atonement, blood shed upon the cross of Calvary for your sin and my sin keeps judgment away from us. We won't ever have to face the judgment of God because of that. Amen. Amen. I like that. I just thought it'd be good for you to hear that. I thought it good to encourage your hearts this morning that we have pitch all over us. It's the blood, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go also, and I know we're turning to a few scriptures, but I want to show you some things. I want you to go back to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. We'll just be there for a few moments. Book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. What was it like in the days of Noah? What was going on? We read already it was a day of violence. Corruption was upon the earth. 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, 37th verse, we'll start to read. He says, excuse me, he says the 37th verse, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." God says in the very day when Jesus comes again, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. You've heard that before. You understand that. You know that to be true. What was they doing in that day? The Bible says they was eating, they was drinking, and they was marrying and giving in marriage. Let me just say to you, yes, that was the normal things to do, but it was more than just the normal things to do. And the Bible says they was so busy about these things, they knew not until the flood came. I mean, they wasn't interested in the warnings that God gives, and we're not interested today in the warnings that God gives people. Most people are not interested. Why? They're too busy. And let me say to you, marriage has become so unimportant to people. Marriage is not important anymore. I mean, it's just a thing to do. I mean, they give in marriage, they marry, and it just becomes something that isn't important. It's important to God. Marriage is an important thing. And let me say also the eating and drinking. You know, back then they was so obsessed with just marrying and giving and married, and also eating and drinking had become an obsession with them. That's what they did. That became important. Let me say to you today, it's no different today. Eating and drinking has become an obsession. Folks, let me say to you, you know, you drive down the road, you can't hardly find somebody. Most of the time don't have a bottle of pop sitting in their beside their seat there. I mean, they've always got to be drinking something, always got to be eating something. I mean, we humans, we Americans have become obsessed with eating. Eating's not supposed to be a way of life. It's supposed to be for something where you can live. I mean, just so you can exist. But we have really become obsessed with it. God says it'll be that way in the day that Jesus comes again. Why, we're all caught up with obsessions about marrying, giving and marrying, and eating and drinking. In other words, we don't even know that Jesus is coming, just like they did not know that the flood was coming. Amen? That's the way it is today in our world. So what he's trying to tell us is this, that the day that Jesus comes, the day that Jesus comes is going to be a dark day. It's going to be, as he said here, it's going to be a day of violence, of wickedness in the world. We have that even in America today. It's a great day of violence and wickedness in this old world today. So I got to thinking, this week I got to thinking, what kind of people existed back there in that day? I got to think on a personal basis, what kind of folk were there that day when Noah entered into the ark? You know, I got to thinking there probably rich folk were there. I think there was rich folk in those days. I think it was just people who was rich and had all they wanted and didn't care much about God because they didn't think they needed him because they had everything they needed, they thought. They had all the material things and more than they could ever use. We're kind of like that in America, you know. We've got so much in America, you know. And I think there was rich folk that day, and God says it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than rich folk to go into heaven. Does that mean Jesus don't want to save them? Of course not. Jesus loves them. Jesus wants to save the rich just like he would the poor. He wants to save it, but they're so interested in their riches. You see, it's not a matter of having riches. It's a matter is of riches having you. See, that becomes the real problem. When we let riches have us, get a hold of us, control us, decide what we do in life. I mean, see, that's the problem. But I think there was rich folk there that day, outside that ark somewhere. I also think there was poor folk. There have always been poor folk. Jesus said that you always have the poor with you. I think there was poor folk that day around that ark and that community, around that area, on the world that in the world that day, there was poor folk. And you say, oh, Brother Ross, you know, they poor folk, they've lived, they've done without. I mean, they've just really done without. They don't have much. Surely they would get into the ark. Did you ever notice any of the poor folk going into the ark? The Bible just says Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives. The rich folk didn't get into the ark. The poor folk didn't get into the ark. I believe there was old folk there. Now, I want to tell you something. There was really old folk then. I mean, they was anywhere from 300 maybe to 800 years old. They was old. Amen. I mean, they was older than me. Amen. I mean, they was really old folk. Amen. But they was old folk there then, too. You know, I don't know about you, but I always have my heart goes out to old folk. It has for a good long time. Maybe it's because I'm getting there. But I don't know. I just kind of have a heart for older folk. And I have a heart for younger folk, too. But I really do have a heart for older folk. Brother Steve Getzinger and I visited some older folk yesterday in the nursing homes. We went over to Sullivan. And let me say to you, we met a man over there that Angie Sagersey here had led to Christ. She'd asked me to go visit him, and Shepler was his name. And so Steve and I went over, and we visited Mr. Shepler, sitting there in his room, and didn't have much to do. He told me he didn't have much to do, watched a little TV, and just sat in his chair most of the time, done a little activities once in a while. And I thought, boy, I'm thankful he's got something now to look forward to eternity. Because there ain't much to look forward to down here for him. Just live his life out. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, just live his life out. You know, I care about older folk. We come back to Jasonville, and we went up to visit Doc. What's his name, brother? Cadell. I couldn't think of his name. Doc Cadell, brother Berger's friend. And we went and sat and talked with him and had a good time with him. And You know what? All they want you to do. See, he's the one that Brother Berger and I went up and led to the Lord here a while back. You know, people still want to get saved. You know, there's still folk. And he's an older man, and he was in there riding this bicycle. I'm talking about one of them stationary bicycles. He wasn't riding around the nursing home on a bicycle, but he was on one of these stationary bicycles, and he was riding that thing. And I said, "How much you got there?" And he said, "Well, I'm shooting for 4 mile." I thought, "I can't even do 4 mile." And here this old gentleman was on there just a pedaling away, and he got his 4 mile in. And it was interesting because the lady in there with him, she said, "You know, he didn't even tell me that he had accepted Christ as his Savior." And the old gentleman said, "You didn't ask me." And so anyway, we went after that. We went into the little dining room there and sat down, had a cup of coffee with him. Of course, Steve don't drink coffee, so me and Mr. Cadell had coffee, and we sat there and drank coffee and talked to him. But I want you to listen, because right before we left, I said, "We got to go, Mr. Cadell." He leaned over and he said, "Now," he said, "you know that you can visit clear up till 9 or 9:30 of an evening if you want to." Now, you know you can visit at 9:30 of an evening if you want to. Some of you want a ministry. Just go sit down and talk to some old folk. Just take a little time out of your busy schedule and go talk to them. They're just yearning to have somebody talk to them. Jerry, did you get the cool on this side? Would you do that for me, please? They're just anxious to just have someone listen. And most of the time, that's all you have to do. Oh, they want you to talk a little bit, but they won't do most of the talking. Did you ever notice in a nursing home, a lot of times, especially the ladies, they'll grab your hand. They're not trying to be unkind or wrong about it. They don't want you to leave. They think as long as they've got a hold of your hand, you're not going to get away from them. Because they want you to stay and talk. Now, I'm serious. If you want a ministry, you want to be a blessing, just go into some nursing homes around here and sit and talk with them. I go into nursing. I know we've done that kind of work, and we've got people here that do work in the nursing home. They preach the nursing homes. Brother Brewer's going to be preaching this afternoon in one. We have Brother Beller preaches. Brother Bob Rawson preaches in the one up here. But I just want to say to you just want to have a ministry, just go in and talk to them. I think there was old people there. Old folk. I think there was young folk there. And teenagers, I think there was even teenagers in that day. Amen. You know, old folk come from teenagers. Amen. You know, we used to be teenagers. I know you don't believe it, but we used to be teenagers. Amen. And so I think there was young folk in that day. All around there where the ark was being built and in that area and that part of the world, I think there was teenagers, young people. It was so busy with the violence and corruption of the world, it wasn't being taught by mom and dad. You see, Enoch had already preached it. Noah was the great, Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. The Bible tells us that Enoch preached about the judgment coming. They were not without warning. Book of Jude tells us that. And I think the teenagers, you know, didn't have time for God. Parents didn't have time to teach them about God. So I think there was young folk there that day. Amen. I think there was religious folk there that day. I think if you'd been around there, they may have been somebody right outside the ark, getting down on their knees and praying and saying, "I wish you'd do something to this silly man. He's building a big old boat here. We don't even know why he would build such a thing." They may have been praying against him. I don't know, but I think there was praying folk around there. There's always been religious people. But they didn't get into the ark. I think there was the good works people. You know what I think? I can't prove this, but I kind of think that Noah probably hired some help to help build that ark. I would think it'd be pretty hard for four men to build that ark. Probably some people from the area come help cut timber and carry them. I don't know. But you know what? There was the good works people. They may have helped put that ark together. But they didn't get into the ark. I think there was those there that was under conviction. You see, Enoch had been preaching. Noah's great-grandfather had preached about the judgment. I think it got to some people, but you know what happened? I think they got under conviction, but I think people started mocking at him. They said something about, I think I'm going to get on that ark. Ha! Don't be so silly. How foolish you are. That's a silly old man there. They was under conviction, but you know what? They wouldn't go get on the ark. Yeah, I believe that. You see, that's the one thing they had in common. All of these kind of people, in the end, did not get in the ark. You hear me? They was old, they was young, they was rich, they was poor, they was religious, good works, under conviction, but they didn't get into the ark. I want to show you something. Chapter 7, let me read verse 3 and 4 again. A fowl also of the air by sevens, and the male and the female, to keep, send a seed alive upon the face of all the earth. This is verse 4 now, chapter 7. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days. Did you hear what God said? Folks, do you realize, you know, we read over in the Genesis 6 about the condition. The imaginations of the heart was terrible, wicked, violence covered the earth. Did you hear what God says? I'll give them another 7 days. Oh, the grace of God is so wonderful. No, I'll give them another 7 days. Did they deserve it? Oh, no. Oh, no. They'd already showed how wicked and how corrupt they was. But that's the grace of God. I'll give them another 7 days. And then I'm going to send the rain. Amen. Now, over in chapter 7, verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Did you notice here what it says about it? God shut him in. The floods came. I don't know all about, you know, what happened that day, but all I know is God done the closing of the door. The Bible tells us over in the 6th chapter there was a door in the side of the ark. And God closed it. If there was any people sitting on the outside of that ark that day looking and wondering what's going on, and all at once that door began to close, I imagine that done something for them. Because God simply closed the door. There was only one door. There was no other door they could get in. One door. Now I want to show you what happened to them. The Bible says in verse 21 of chapter 7, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. The only ones that remained alive was those that was in the ark. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and their wives. Amen. Everything else died. Every other man died. Amen. One door. Now I want to show you something. John, the 10th chapter. Book of John, 10th chapter, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus says, I am the door. Now, I want you to remember something. Because of our sin, because of sin of Adam and Eve, because of sin, that sin passed upon all men, including you and I. And he says, I am the door. He's the only door. There's only one door in the ark. There's only one door to heaven. That's Jesus, the Son of God. There is no other door. Impossible to get into heaven except you go through Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at all the people that was here during the days of the flood. I want to tell you something. I believe the door concerning the church age is soon to be shut. I believe the door is coming again. And I believe it's soon. Now, I can believe that if I want to. I believe he's coming. Amen. Now, it's going to close on a lot of people. The tribulation period's going to take place. Now, I just want to tell you something. The same kind of people that were before the flood are here today. The rich folk are here today. More interested in their riches than they are being saved. Or even serving God. Their riches have got them instead of them having riches. I believe the poor is here today. You can see evidence of that. Jesus said there always will be the poor. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just want to say to you, being poor does not hold any water with God when it comes to eternal life. Being poor will not get you through that door. I think the old are here today. Just talked about it earlier. I think they're all over this country. I just read the other day the oldest person in the world died at 100. I think it was 114 years of old. And I think the next one also was close to 114. And he or she took over privilege of being the oldest person. But the old are here. Certainly I know the young are here. Young people are here. I know the religious are here. I meet them just about every week of my life when they want to tell me how religious they are. Oh, me and God, we have an understanding. No, you don't have an understanding. If you don't do it God's way, you don't do it. If you're not saved, you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. But there's a lot of people who say they're religious, never darken the door of a church. Never do anything for God. Never even show him reverence. But they say they're religious. And then also, I think there's the good works people. This presence today. You know what? We just built on to this church here a few years ago. We had some wonderful help. Nailing nails, and putting up rafters and boards and everything that need to be done, putting a roof on it, all the things that need to be done. But can I tell you that won't get you to heaven? I think there's people in this world today that'll do everything they can to be some kind of a blessing to a church, thinking that will help them. They're what I call the good works people. Oh, there's even people who work in churches. I mean, there may be, excuse me, Tommy, there may be song leaders. There may be preachers. There may be deacons. There may be Sunday school teachers that are doing the good works. But they're not saved. They're not born again. They've never come through the door. And I believe also there are those who are under conviction that God is dealing with them. I mean working on them and dealing with them and know they ought to get right with God. They know they ought to do something, but refuse to do it. And a lot of times it's because people are laughing at them, mocking at them. Maybe some of your friends this morning right now would mock at you if you walked this aisle to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They might laugh at you. Your school friends, your school buddies might laugh at you. You know what they want? They want to take you away from the attention of the Word of God. They don't want you to yield to God. They don't want you to get saved. They don't want you to walk with God. They don't want you to give your life to God. And you know what? There's a lot of people yield to that. Oh, they've been under conviction. God has been trying to deal with them, work with them, draw them to himself. But no, some so-called buddy or friend has laughed and mocked at them and said, well, you'd be a fool to go and try to get saved or go forward in a church. Silly for you. Oh, they hear this all the time, and because of that, they don't go through the one door, which is Christ. Oh, I think the same kind of folk that was back there in the days of the flood are here today. Don't you? And what I'm saying to you is this. Most of those, you know why they drowned? Do you know why they was destroyed? They didn't get in the ark. Amen. You know why people are going to go to hell? They don't go through the door, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They will not confess the fact that they're a sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, in need of God. They will not call upon him and ask him to save their soul and give them eternal life. And because of that, they're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Why? They didn't get in the ark. They didn't go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And what I want to say to you today is this. I don't care what kind of person you are. You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be old, you may be young, you may be religious, you may be a good works person. You may think that because you're a pretty good guy that or a lady, that's because you're going to get to heaven. It doesn't work that way. And you may be under conviction even right now, God dealing with your heart, and you're afraid, or you're afraid somebody would laugh at you or mock at you. If you came forward and walked this aisle and came and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. So because of that, you'll walk out of here this morning under conviction, but unsaved. Now what I'm asking you to do is do the smart thing. Do the wise thing. God dealing with you this morning, what you need to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure that you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Can you in your heart right now say, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven? And the answer as to why would have to be not because you're a good person, not because you're a church membership member. It would have to be because there was a day when you understood you was a sinner lost and you was sorry for that sin and you turned to Christ. You say, oh God, I need to be saved. There needs to be a time when you're born again. Just like you was physically, there needs to be a time when you was born spiritually. And you know what the wonderful thing about it is? This morning, you could do that. This morning, you could respond to this invitation that we're going to give in just a moment. And you could come and walk this aisle. We'll have men standing right here. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to help you. If you're a man, we'll get a man to help you, take you through the Bible, show you how you can be born again, saved, and know that you're ready for heaven. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again today I ask you, please, Lord, do the work that needs to be done in our hearts. Father, no matter what kind of person may be sitting here today, I know this, you want us all to be saved. You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now I pray this morning, if there's any here that is not saved, does not know for sure, 100% sure, that if they died, they'd go to heaven, they'd walk this aisle this morning, let us have the opportunity to show them how they can come to Christ and have that sweet assurance of heaven. I just pray the will of God be done. I pray the Holy Spirit of God be able to convict, do that which needs to be done this morning. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.